Good morning, New Hope Church. It's good to see all of you here today on this Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to all of you, and more importantly, happy Lord's Day to you. This is a great opportunity to gather in the name of our Lord Jesus and worship Him and to give Him all glory and praise. As we have been doing here for this just little bit, I want to welcome my dear friend, Pastor Vashik Anders, Lita's husband, right? And ask him to come up here, and we're going to pray for him. He's going to bring us the Word of God today. Pastor Vashik, as many of us here at New Hope Church know, is the lead pastor of Coastal Yanak, which is a fabulous, thriving, gospel-centered church community in Schumperk, Czech Republic. It is a church that we had the wonderful privilege of helping to launch some years ago, and Pastor Vashik and the church family there in Schumperk are right now praying about strategizing the launch of yet another church in a nearby city to Schumperk. And so we see God's kingdom continuing to expand. And guess what, church family? In so many ways, God is using you to help that cause. And praise God for just the relationship, the friendship, and the influence that you have, that Schumperk's church and the community there gets to enjoy and benefit from. We love Pastor Vashik and his family very, very much. We want to pray with you right now, pray for you. Can I do that? Our Heavenly Father, thank you so very much for Pastor Vashik and for Lita, for their dear family. Thank you for the wonderful friendship that we share as churches and as brothers and sisters in Christ. We praise you for the shed blood of Jesus that washes over us and makes us white as the driven snow, pure and holy in your eyes, satisfying you completely. And we thank you that because of that, all power is available for us to glorify you, to represent you well, to tell your story to a world that is so desperate and in such need. We thank you for the Word of God, for the good news, the gospel, for the hope of heaven. We thank you, Lord, for Pastor Vashik's ministry, for his wisdom, his tenderness to you, his, Father, wonderful ability to unpack your word. May our lives today be changed because of this. We welcome him, we love him, and we eagerly await for you to have your way with each of us here today. We do so in the name of Jesus, our King and Savior, and all God's people said together, amen. Let's welcome Pastor Vashik.
So Ephesians 6 is our chapter today. We're going to be in verses 18 through 20. And the few verses we're going to talk about are about prayer. And prayer is something everybody knows Christians should do. Like even when I was going to study theology in Czech Republic in Prague, and most of my friends were non-Christian friends, and they're wondering, you know, why would you study theology? And most of them didn't even know what theology is. And one friend asked me, so you're going to go study theology, so does that mean that you're just going to pray all the time? Because that's what he thinks Christians are doing. That's the only thing Christians are doing. He only had the picture of a monk that's probably by a candlelight and praying, and he thought all that Christians do is praying all the time. And praying, we know we should do that all the time. You know, praying is something we all know we should do, and most of us feel guilty that we're not doing it enough. And oftentimes, we don't pray because we think we don't know how. Like in Czech Republic, there are these conferences and there are these breakout sessions, these seminars. They're all the same. At every conference, there is this prayer seminar, how to read my Bible seminar, and evangelism seminar. And it's like, it's flooded by Christians who are Christians for 10, 15 years, and they think, finally, I'm going to learn some secret how to do evangelism, or how to read my Bible, or how to pray. And it's going to be easy after I learn that secret. And maybe some of you think that too. That's why we buy a lot of books, listen to a lot of talks about prayer, because we think, you know, it's supposed to be easy, but it's hard. Well, what if it's not supposed to be easy? What if it's not supposed to be easy to pray? You know, I'm not saying that it's to be hard always, But what if it's not supposed to be easy? And the passage we're in right now about armor of God, and it's the end of the passage about the armor of God, is probably the biggest passage in the New Testament that's about Christians being in a battle. Christians being in a battle. And this is not a Nerf gun battle we're talking about, right? This is the enemy shoots to kill. And like if I ask you, you know, you have your spiritual life, like imagine yourself, you go to work, you have family, and if I ask you, you know, what threatens your spiritual life the most? You know, a lot of people in our church, in Czech Republic, because you're a super secular country, and I think it's to the degree it's the same here, they would say, well, my coworkers make fun of me. You know, I have a guy in our church, and his coworkers make fun of him every day. Every day. They're telling him he's brainwashed. They're telling him they're going to kill me or they're going to physically harm me when they meet me. They're telling him stuff like that every day. Maybe some of you would say, well, my teacher. We have a 14-year-old girl in our church, and she's bullied by her teacher because she's Christian. So maybe my teacher, or maybe it's my kids, right? They're not Christians, or they don't seem like they're Christians, and I just have a hard time spiritually myself because of that. Or my relatives, they're not Christian. What I'm supposed to do? You know, what threatens your spiritual life? What do you think you fight against? And Paul says, and spend some time, so the Christians he's writing to, they will realize that the battle they're in is way deeper than they think. It's not really much the coworker or the parent or the teacher. He says in verse 12, he says, we do not wrestle, fight against flesh and blood. Now, it's not much the people, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. That's what he says. And then he goes on to talk about the armor of God, and he underscores it with prayer. And not just prayer, but prayer and prayer for other people. For other people, because you're not alone. You know, people around you are struggling to the same degree as you are. You know, it's sometimes easy to think, well, I'm a mess. You know, at least nobody knows it. But I think, like, all the other people, they look way better than me spiritually. But other people are struggling. You know, they're failing to believe the gospel as they feel they should. They fail to apply it. They don't always stand firm in temptation. And this is the feeling we get from this passage. This is a fight, and you can't fight it alone. Okay, let's dig in into the text. So it's verse 18, and I'll have 4 points. 4 points this morning. This is my first point. If you're writing notes, prayer, this is first point, prayer is more important than we think. Prayer is more important than we think. Listen to what Apostle Paul says to this church as he tells them to put the armor of God on. He tells them, be praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. He tells them, praying at all times, be praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. Or it's more important than you think. It's more important than you think. Paul tells them, you know what's the good time to pray? All the time. All the time. With what? With everything you have. What do you think about when you read passages like this? Because this, Paul tells people to pray all the time, or he tells people he's praying all the time, all the time. Like he tells the church in Rome, he says, I remember you in my prayers at all times. To Corinthians, he says, I always give thanks to God for you. You know, and Corinthian church was not a church you would think to give God thanks for, you know. And he says, always. I give thanks always for you. To Ephesians earlier in this book, he says, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. To Philippians, he says, I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy. To Colossians, and this is a church he hasn't even seen, you know. And it's not like there was Facebook there. He didn't even know how they look like. And he says, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. To Thessalonians, he says, we always thank God for you, all of you, mentioning you in our prayers, and night and day we pray most earnestly. And then he says to this church and to us, pray at all times. Pray at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. This is more important than you think. Do you know why? Do you know why we need to pray at all times? Because we need it at all times. Because we need it at all times. And others as well. Like, what do you think when you hear this? You know, I feel guilty. It tells me that if I think I'm praying enough, I'm not. Maybe you know a person who's praying a lot. Maybe a lot more than you. They're not praying enough. They themselves would tell you they're not praying enough. And you may say, oh, is this a sermon like it's going to guilt me into just not praying enough? Is this a talk? Yeah, to a degree, it is. Because we're guilty of not praying enough. It's, you know, like these culture these days, you shouldn't feel guilty about anything. It would be true if you would not be guilty, you know. But we are guilty of a lot of things. And one of them is we're not praying enough. But we should feel guilty and weak because we are weak. And we are not the winning factor in this battle. And I was thinking deeply about, well, why is it so hard for us? You know, why is it so hard for us to pray all the time? Or like at least to feel like we're praying all the time? Also just to pray sometimes, you know. Not all the time. For us, it's too hard to just pray in the morning. 5 minutes. Why is it so hard? And I came to this conclusion, why don't we pray like this? I'm convinced this is the reason. I think the primary reason we don't pray is that we don't think we need it, and we don't believe it's going to work anyways. I don't know what other explanation there would be for us not praying as much as we can, as the simple one. We don't believe it's going to work. Like, really think about this for yourself. We don't think we need it. We can imagine it by ourselves somehow anyways. We always did it. That's how we think. And if we do, it's probably not going to work anyway. We don't believe it. Before we planted our church, I was a member in a small Baptist church. And we tried, we decided on trying this courageous, daring thing in this Baptist church, you know. And that was to sit somewhere else. And I don't know if it would be courageous here, maybe, you know. But it's really a step of faith. And we had a reason, you know, for that. We said, we're going to sit somewhere else, you know, disrupt the system. And we're going to ask people, well, is there anything we can pray for you, you know? Because we probably never talked to them. And so I said to this, next to this old couple, who sat always at that one spot, I sat next to them, and I asked them, well, is there anything I can pray for you? And the answer they gave me, it's like 8 years, but I still remember it to this day. They looked at me and said, they said, we don't need anybody to pray for us. And I just sat there. I was shocked, you know. I thought Christians were at least supposed to pretend they like to be prayed for, you know. But they were just like stone cold. You don't need anyone. And Paul says, you need it always. All the time. All the time. Can you think of a time you don't need it? False. All the time, with everything you have. And he says, we're to pray in the Spirit every time, all the time, always in the Spirit, every prayer. What do you think that means? That means the prayer is not just about saying something aloud or just saying some things in your mind. You know, prayer is not just, there's a cool, probably old way of that we are using a prayer, and that's, I don't know if you're using it, but it's like to end the meeting, you know. Prayer for us can be like a tool to end a Christian meeting. Like when you say, let's pray, it means go home, you know. It works, you know, it's good. I certainly do it. But I think what he's saying, well, sometimes it takes praying to really pray. You know, pray for real. Like the Puritans used to say, pray until you pray. You know, sometimes it's fast. Sometimes you're going to be with the Lord and you're going to, you know, you're going to pray and you know you're going to pray. And sometimes you're just talking to a wall. And don't quit. At times, it takes praying to actually pray a lot of times. And he says, pray in the Spirit. It means concentrate on who you are in Christ. That's the Spirit's work, is to testify who is Christ and who you are in light of who he is. Focus on it. Pray all the time. These kinds of prayer. We are to pray all the time, meaning there is never a bad time to pray. If Christ prayed on the cross, there is a never bad time to pray. There's more convenient time, but there's never a bad time to pray. I usually tell my people at our church, don't tell people you're going to pray for them. Pray for them, you know? So it's like, we used to, oh, I'm going to pray for you. Why don't you pray just there? And you say, well, we're standing on the hallway. Well, you know, God is present at the hallways too. You know, you can pray there. Pray. It's never a bad time. All the time. Not like, whatever, let's go. Too much time on this. With all prayer, all times means we need it all time. Do not fall for the lie that you have your life under control. And you don't need to pray. The Bible calls people who think they have their life under control fools. Fools. And if you think you have your life under control more than anyone sitting in this room, you have been fooled. Because it's easy to think when you look around and you think, well, this guy's life is way more messier than mine. He has debt, he has this, he has this. I don't. You know, I must be great. You're not. We need to pray because we're not the ones in control, but we know someone who is. Okay, so this first point, it's more important than you think all the time, all the prayer. My second point is this. Prayer is harder than we think. I'm going to stress that point again with my second point. We will want to quit and we will quit. You know, it's hard to acknowledge that we are weak, especially to ourselves. Especially if you're a Christian for a long time and, you know, people think you should have things figured out, but you know you don't. You're kind of ashamed if they know how much you read your Bible or if people would know how much you pray. Probably dropped the way they view you. It's important to know we're weak because a lot of us are focusing on some more sanctified version of ourselves in the future. Like, yeah, I'm like this year, but next year I'm going to have my Bible plan. I'm going to get past March. You know, I'm not going to stop at Leviticus. Leviticus is not going to stop me this year. And I'm going to pray. Just not today, you know. It's not that it's too late. But in the future, oh, I'll be a really good Christian. And we're weak. And it's important to know that. God knows. That's what he says in the next line. He says, you got to persevere. Paul says, with all perseverance. He says, pray all times, all. How? With all perseverance. You know, why does he need to tell them? Because he knows. They will want to quit. It's hard. He doesn't say, but well, all it takes is little perseverance, guys. You know, I can do it. Look at me. I pray for you all the time. All it takes, just little perseverance. No. He doesn't even say some perseverance. He says it's going to take all of your energy, all of your perseverance, all perseverance. We're not that great. We're not that great. We need perseverance, especially when you pray for others. The devil tells you not to pray. Tells you things like, don't pray for him. He wouldn't pray for you. Or God doesn't listen anyway. Or God doesn't need to listen to someone like you. Or it's late. You pray better in the morning. That's what I hear every day. Then I don't pray in the morning. He says, to that end, keep alert with all perseverance. To that end, so you pray all the time, keep alert with all perseverance. Like, keep, like, really focus on what you're doing, on what you're praying. Do not fall asleep. You know, that flows from the first one. Our conviction is that we are weak people who need God all the time. You know, we believe lies quick, right? Like, especially when they make much of us. We begin to convince, oh, we have our life under control. God is not listening anyways. Look at what I accomplished. Where was God helping me in that? No, it's harder than you think. If you think you have your life under control, then pray all the time, if you can control that. Point three. So we have, it's more important than we think. It's harder than we think. And the third point, it's for everyone. Okay, prayer is for everyone. There are no exceptions. There are no exceptions. I don't know how many of you have ever been to like a European city, like downtown European city, like Paris, London, Prague in Czech Republic, something like that. And maybe you have it here too, but in the bigger cities in Europe, there are these like people going through downtown and they have flyers for like opera and a concert or a musical and stuff, and they want to offer the tourists, and people are like, well, you can go to this concert and opera, it's nice, you know, go there, it's only a lot of money, you know. And I get never stopped by these people. And I'm offended. It's like, don't I look like the type who would go to a concert or opera? They never stop me. It's like everybody, and then I go, so they're like, But when like Hare Krishna or like a cult is stopping people, I always get stopped. Like, I'm the type, you know. It's like, oh, you look like a person who needs to be converted. And even though I go to the, like the opposite side of the street, they still go to me, you know. And even if I'm trying to get the flyer from the music guys, like, I'm, like, almost bumping into them, and they're like, they were never give me one. I don't know, but with prayer, God looks and says, everybody's the type that needs a prayer. You know, everybody, God looks at everybody and tells, you need it. You need to pray. And everybody else needs you. You need you to pray for them. Pray for others. They need it, all of them. Even the ones that seem they pray way more than you. Probably pray more because they just realize they need it more. He says, Apostle Paul says, for all the saints, okay, so it's all the time, with all perseverance for everybody, even for Apostle Paul, even for me, he says. If Paul needs to be prayed for, we need to be prayed for, you know? And he gives them specifics. And what is mind-boggling, maybe for some, watch this. He tells them to pray for something he's seemingly good at. Have you noticed that? He says, pray for me also that the words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel for which I'm an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. He says, pray for me so I'll be able to tell the mystery of the gospel to people. And I'm like, well, are you not the guy who's writing the Bible? So, and you just said you are in chains because you are boldly proclaiming the gospel. And you need us to pray for you so you would do what you're probably the best at. You know, if you would have to pick like top five people who can, you know, share the mystery of the gospel, Paul probably, at least number two, you know. And he says, but that gives you a glimpse, you know. Like, Paul is totally dependent on God and Christ. Even in things he's best at, he needs help. You know, how many times we're asking for a prayer, praying in like things we're failing or hard. You know, it's like saying, I need you guys to pray for something I still don't have under my control. Everything else I have covered. I guess God can help there, you know. But no, you have nothing. You have nothing under your control. Like, everybody needs prayer. Like, look around. There's nobody in control in this room of their life. Like Pastor Matthew, okay? Let's take him as an example. Some of you may think his preaching is the best. It's great. So it's not something you have to pray about. But it's exactly what you need to pray for. It's exactly what you need to pray for. That he boldly proclaims the gospel every time. Every time. Do not think he doesn't need it. Or anyone. No one is an exception. Pray for everyone. That's what he says. Pray for me. You know, these are like month-old Christians. I don't know, maybe more. And Apostle Paul is this great guy. And he's like, pray for me, guys. And I was thinking about, when reading this passage, like, how can we do this? You know, so not have this as like just like a nice idea. Oh, yeah, that'd be nice, you know, to pray for everyone, but probably won't do it. But, you know, how can we really do this? And I came to this like revolutionary thought, I think. We can really do it if we like each other. You know, like, how can you gonna pray for anyone? You probably should like them, you know. Because I looked at people I'm praying for, those are people I like, you know. I don't spend much time, you know. Sometimes I pray for president because the Bible tells me so, but don't really feel it. But I really pray for people I really like. And I think I should like more people. And like people more. I know it's not a big thought, but if God in Christ loved us, not because we're awesome, but even though we're not, isn't it how we should love people too? Not what we get out of that, but what they can get out of it. And if prayer is so important that we should do it all the time, every time, with all perseverance, shouldn't that be the place where our love for other people is manifested the most? You know, I think we have to be bothered more. We have to be bothered more by the lack of affection we have for other people in the church. And sometimes we do not pray because for others because we ourselves do not think we need it. We talked about that. You know, we say we did it ourselves. Cannot they do it themselves either? You know. You know, sometimes annoying question you get in the church. That, hey, how can I pray for you? You know, hey, how can I pray for you? And it's like, you know, it's a good question. But to be honest, sometimes it's annoying because you don't know the answer right away. You know, it's kind of, it's like, I don't know you. And so you give something generic, like pray for my family, pray for my health. You have something, but it's private, you know. It's interesting that we don't know how prayer would solve our problems. But most of us have a good idea how money would, you know. If I come to you in church and say, well, I have this $5,000 for you. Is there anything you need that would help this, like how money would help this? I bet I will hear a lot more answers than how can I pray for you. I bet that I would say even, well, I'm going to tell you my private things too, you know. We don't think it works. We don't believe it. That's why we need to pray for everyone. We're weak. So, and then we come to the fourth point. Prayer. So we had prayer is what? So we had prayer is more important than we think. Prayer is harder than we think. Prayer is for everyone. And fourth is, so right now we feel weak because we are. We feel guilt because we have it. And the fourth point is this. Prayer is powered by the gospel. Prayer is powered by the gospel. Or the gospel is engine of prayer. Not our guilt. Our guilt brings us to the gospel, not to be a better person. Our guilt is not the engine of our prayer, and it will never will be. Gospel is. And this really flows from all Ephesians. And we need to know two things when we pray about God, okay? We need to know at least two things when we pray about God. First one, God is sovereign, you know. God is sovereign. He is the one in control, you are not. Bible says he's sitting on his throne and does whatever he pleases to do. He is sovereign over all. He can do everything he wants to. If we pray, he can do anything we ask him to. He is sovereign over all. That's the first truth we need to know. The second one is God is for us. God loves us. And in church, I came to find out there are people who tend to believe one over the other. Usually fall on those two. Like some people believe that God is, they really believe that God is sovereign, he can do anything, he can do everything, and then they'll pray. Because they think he doesn't need me. He's going to do his way anyway. Why would I pray? And some people believe that God is really loving, he really loves us, but he's not really sovereign. You know, he wouldn't interfere with my will or other will, so how can I pray? Like, I really want something, but he wouldn't do it anyway. He can't. They wouldn't say it out loud. It's not their theological position, you know, but they believe it. And we need to believe both. And by focusing on who he is how in this context we stand firm in this battle. We are able to hold our ground. When we pray, we do not think about our own might and goodness as the reason for God to listen to us. We are not strong, but, he says, we are strong in the Lord and stand in the strength of his might. That's how this passage began. Only in him this can be done. He is the focus of prayer. And I think the point is this. If we see Christ truly, listen, if we see Christ truly, we have to lose all the sense of control we think we have. Like, when you look at the cross shows us where we should have been. This is our place. Like, when you look at the cross, it tells you all your control, all your power would get you there. If you would be in the driver's seat, if you would be the one controlling your life, you should have been crucified, separated from God forever. This is where your control, your power, your might would get you, right there. And when we look at the cross and there's Jesus on it, not us, how can we feel control or power or might? This was supposed to be our place, our death, our end. When we look at Christ, we have to lose all the awe we have of ourselves and gain a new awe of God. We say together, here we stand under the cross. No power, no control, nothing to give, but having God who is both sovereign and for us. And in that, we stand firm. Cross will tell us precisely these two things. Cross of Christ is telling us God is in control even though it doesn't look like it. God is in control even though everybody says you're a fool for believing it. Cross of Christ tells us God is in control even though it hurts. Even there's pain. Even though there are tears. God is still in control. It's his plan. Nothing is out of his plan. He's in control. And cross of Christ will tell us God is for us. God is for us. With everything he has, with all the perseverance in face of evil, dying for his enemies. He is for us. That literally gives us new strength that's not our own. Our prayer life, okay, is lived out of true revelation of who God is, not from a false idea who we are. Can I say that again? You can write it in your notes. Our prayer life is lived out of the true revelation of who God is in Christ, that he's really in control. He is really that loving, even though we can't believe it. Not from a false idea of who we are. That we have things under control. That we don't need it. We don't need to believe it. It's a lie. You are weak and he is strong. That's why we pray. That's why we pray. That's how we pray in this battle. Not looking to something in us, but recognizing we are weak. We cling to the cross together and look for God who is in control and for God who is for us. God is both sovereign and for us. That's the might of the cross. That's the might of in which we stand in Christ. That's the engine of prayer in a battle like this. Let me pray. God, you're awesome. God, so big we can't even comprehend it. And I ask you that these passages and the scripture we read would convince us of our weaknesses, would make us humble. Not so that we would drown in shame, but so that we cling to the cross, which would really lead to prayer at all times if we see you truly. If we see you truly, we know we can pray at all times to a God who listens, to a God who actually controls everything, and to a God who is for us. So I ask you to bring this conviction on us this day and to plant a seed in us that would create this cross-centered prayer and prayer life. Amen.